We believe that this is the inerrant word of the one and only true and living God. It is the only infallible rule for our faith and its practice. So hear now the word of our God from 2 Samuel chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. And Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister, Tamar. For she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very crafty man. And he said to him, "O son of the king, why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you not tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Let my sister Tamar come and give me bread to eat and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat from her hand." Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, where he was lying down. And she took dough and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and emptied it out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Send out everyone from me." So everyone went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the chamber that I may eat from your hand." And Tamar took the cakes she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. But when she brought them near him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come lie with me, my sister." She answered him, "No, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this outrageous thing. As for me, where could I carry my shame? And as for you, you would be as one of the outrageous fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold you from me." But he would not listen to her. And being stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her with very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Get up, go." But she said to him, "No, my brother, for this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. He called the young man who served him and said, "Put this woman out of my presence and bolt the door after her." Now she was wearing a long robe with sleeves, for thus were the virgin daughters of the king dressed. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the long robe that she wore. And she laid her hand on her head and went away, crying aloud as she went. And her brother Absalom said to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? Now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this to heart." So Tamar lived a desolate woman in her brother Absalom's house. When King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. But Absalom spoke to Amnon neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar. After 2 full years, Absalom had sheep shearers at Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold, your servant has sheep shearers. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant." But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, let us not all go, lest we be burdensome to you." He pressed him, but he would not go, but gave him his blessing. Then Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" But Absalom pressed him until he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Then Absalom commanded his servants, "Mark when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, 'Strike Amnon,' then kill him. Do not fear. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." So the servants of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each mounted his mule and fled. While they were on the way, news came to David, "Absalom has struck down all the king's sons, and not one of them is left." Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants who were standing by tore their garments. But Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, said, "Let not my lord suppose that they have killed all the king's young men, all the king's sons. For Amnon alone is dead. For by the command of Absalom, this has been determined from the day he violated his sister Tamar. Now therefore, let not my lord the king so take it to heart as to suppose that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon alone is dead." But Absalom fled, and the young man who kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, many people were coming from the road behind him by the side of the mountain. And Jonadab said to the king, "Behold, the king's sons have come, as your servant said. So it has come about." And as soon as he had finished speaking, behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very bitterly. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son day after day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the spirit of the king longed to go out to Absalom, because he was comforted about Amnon, since he was dead. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You know, early on in my time here, we came to a passage that was about money. And I sort of jokingly said, if I could skip this, I would. Because I don't want to talk about money. I don't want to make it seem like I want your money, right? And that was the take that I had on it. And that was sort of, I guess it was true. But if there was ever a passage I wish that I could just skip, it would be this one. This is tough to read. Your heart breaks for Tamar, and it should. Your heart is disgusted at Amnon, who I can only describe as a piece of human filth, and that's because I'm not supposed to use the words that would accurately describe him. And if you are offended, keep in mind that is how offensive God finds the sin that he committed in this passage. We look at Jonadab with disdain. And then how can you use your great intellect? The Hebrew word actually, where he's described as a crafty man, says that he's a man of wisdom, a wise man. And the English translation translates it as crafty so that you understand that it is being used to an ill end. But it is still the good gift that God has given him, the mind, to be able to plan and know how things will shake out and give good counsel in a way. If you're wanting to accomplish a task, Jonadab is the man to consult, whether it is Amnon's devices on Tamar or, arguably, Absalom's plans for Amnon. Because it's interesting, Jonadab knows immediately and tells the king, don't worry, he didn't kill all the king's sons, just Amnon. And all of this we must view in light of earlier in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where David is promised a house. He wants to build a bayit for Yahweh so that Yahweh won't dwell in a tent. And Yahweh says, you won't build a bayit for me. I will build a bayit for you. You won't build a house for me. I will build a house for you. And this is the house of David? God had promised that he would have a dynasty that would never end. The heir to the throne is the principal villain in this text. And next in line is Absalom. There is no easy way to tackle this text, so we might as well dive right in. Absalom, Avshalom in Hebrew, means father of peace. Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. Now, the word in Hebrew is ahav, love. But this is not love in any biblical sense. Any love that a Christian should have. Because you notice, what does it mean for Amnon to love Tamar? He was tormented and made himself ill because she was a virgin. That word means a young woman of marriageable age. She was a beautiful young woman. And it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. To have that attitude towards any woman is sick and disgusting. After all, it doesn't say it seemed impossible that he could ever have her as his wife. It doesn't say it seemed impossible that he could ever be with her. It says it seemed impossible to do anything to her. Amnon views Tamar as nothing more than an object for his personal gratification. All he wants is the one time. I would be remiss if I did not say that we live in a society that encourages young men to view women in this way. Look at the devastation and the heartache and the sorrow that is wrought on the house of David and the kingdom of Israel because this man, by the way, there's no reason to think he didn't actually have a wife. After all, his younger brother is having a sheep shearing party and they're all getting drunk 3 years later. So his younger sister is of marriageable age. There's no reason to believe that Amnon did not have a wife of his own, and yet all he wants is to use Tamar for his personal pleasure and gratification. It's made all the worse by the fact that she is his sister. Amnon cares only about himself, only about his own desires and devices of his own heart. And Jonadab is willing to use his wisdom, his crafty mind in order to get him to accomplish this horrific deed. He lies, pretends to be sick. He uses that lie to get his sister in the house with him. He sends everyone out. You also, in this text, can't help but hear echoes of David and Bathsheba, can't you? You remember how we said in that passage that Bathsheba should have been able to trust David because he was the king? He was supposed to be looking out for her. Well, Tamar should have been able to trust Amnon. David viewed Bathsheba as nothing more than a beautiful woman that he wanted to have. Amnon views Tamar in that way. The words of Tamar should make us all sorrow as she says over and over, my brother, do not do this. My brother, did you notice how many times she said it? And no one listens to her. Amnon would not listen to her. Amnon used his power to get from her what he wanted, and then he hates her with a very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And he said to her two words in Hebrew, get up, get out. And then when she pleads with him, no, my brother, then he calls his servant and he says, get this thing out of my sight. The word woman is not in the text. He says, get this thing out of my sight. He truly is, as she said, a fool, a Nabal, committing foolishness and godlessness. He's one of the outrageous fools in Israel. And where is she left? She's left destitute, desolate, in her brother Absalom's house. So you have Amnon, who is committing a horrible atrocity for his own twisted ends. You have Jonadab that seems to view this all as a game to try to orchestrate things and outsmart people. And then you have Absalom, who hates Amnon, but he's playing it close to the chest. Says neither good nor bad. He takes his sister into his house and he waits. What does David do? After all, his daughter has been brutally assaulted. His son is the culprit, and it is his job to administer justice. And it says he was angry. There's nothing. It's just he's angry. But that anger never translates into any action. That anger never says, well, you know what? God's law would prescribe this punishment on my son Amnon. No, none of that. He is angry. It's like he's an innocent bystander that's just helpless in all of this. Meanwhile, just as David schemed to have Uriah put to death, Absalom schemes to have Amnon put to death. And at the end of the text, what do we have? We have a dead heir to the throne. The next in line has fled to another kingdom. Jonadab is laughing and saying, don't worry, the rest of your sons are fine. David is weeping, and this is God's king. What are we to make then of this text? Well, first, Amnon cultivated the sin that was in his heart, and it led to his destruction. You might think that it is harmless. You might think that you have it under control. You might think that you're acting the way everyone else is. After all, Amnon was acting the way a powerful man in the ancient Near East would have acted. And the author blows that up to us and shows us just how awful and horrific it actually is. Christians, your sin is no different. Hopefully it is not the same as Amnon's. Hopefully you are not longing to do the same thing that he was longing to do, and nevertheless, sin will lead to this. Second, let us not close our ears to the cries of the helpless as Tamar's cries fell on deaf ears in this text. Her brother Amnon does not listen to her. Her brother Absalom does nothing to help her. At the end of this text, she's still a desolate woman living in her brother Absalom's house. He didn't do anything to her. He looked out for himself and his own lust for vengeance. Her father neither protected her nor stood up for her. She is completely forgotten about in this text, used and discarded. And yet our God did not forget about her. Our God's ears are attentive to the cry of the poor. His eyes are in all the earth. He sees, he hears, he does not forget. And so may we not close our eyes to the cry of the poor as Amnon and Absalom and David closed their eyes to the cry of Tamar. Third, may we remember, as Absalom did not, that vengeance is mine, declares the Lord. Absalom took vengeance into his own hand, and he schemed and plotted over years, 2 full years, not 3, as I said earlier, 2 full years. He hatched a plot to murder his brother. Let us remember that our God will one day sit in judgment, and even horrible sinners like Amnon will stand before his judgment seat, and all will be made right. God's justice will be handed down. But instead of entrusting himself to him who judges justly, Absalom took matters into his own hands, and now there will be nothing, no portrait of Absalom that is in any way flattering at all. He is a purely wicked character from here on out. May we not be like David, who rather than administering justice showed favoritism to his son and overlooked his crime. But rather, God's word says that a righteous man will swear to his own hurt and will not turn back. David should have administered justice even to his heir and punished the sin of Amnon, and he does not. Finally, what I think the author wants us to see from this text is that the house of David was not established because it was so great. The house of David was not established because David was such a great king, such a righteous man, had shepherded his family so well. The house of David was established because it was God's will to do it. God established the house of David for one reason and one reason only, and that is so that Christ would come and put an end to sin, so that Christ would come and be the king in whose kingdom this does not happen, to would be the king who truly administered justice, who truly listened to the cry of the poor, who truly defended those who could not defend themselves, and who truly brought peace. There is no peace in this passage. It is everyone doing what is right in their own eyes, and devastation and sorrow ensues. But when Christ comes once more, when Christ returns and establishes his kingdom, there will be no sorrow or crying or pain anymore, because the things that characterize this passage will be done away with. Until he returns, let us remember the words of the apostle in our New Testament reading to purge the evil from among us. And remember that our God would have us be holy as he is holy, as we await the return of a king greater than Amnon, greater than Absalom, greater than David, our Savior, Jesus Christ. For Christians, this is the word of the Lord. And thanks be to God. Let us pray.